Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Men here today. Just want to honor our men and our fathers. And even if you haven't biologically been a father, there's probably some moments where you have stepped in as a mentor. And maybe we could even call it a spiritual father in some ways. I'll tell you this, although Bill isn't my father, there's ways where Bill steps in, Bill Holder, as a masculine man in my life. Bill's just a man. I mean, you know, he's 6'4", 230, I don't know, pounds. The only way we got these four-wheelers in here is Bill picked one up on both hands, and he just laid them in here. But no matter, even if they're not your father, they still can have an impact on your life. My kids love hanging out with Bill. He is this giant, tender guy. Nora, who is 5.5 years old and just got into 30 pounds. he can just hold her, right, and just love on her. There's just a beauty about it, is to be tough and to be tender. I want to set the stage with this. Men, let's set the stage that we're heading off into this war zone, and it's dark, and it's unfamiliar, right, and we come walking in, there's just these random rooms here and there. People are just moving about. There's just confusion. Mass confusion is going on. You hear screams and crying out. You come in and you don't recognize anybody. They're all covered in these face masks. You come into a room. You finally recognize someone. And it's your wife. And here she is, laid out. You come in and you hear this blood-curdling scream. And then a human life is born. And you're now a dad. Your wife just gave birth in this dark room, and everybody's in these masks, and you don't know what to do, and you feel like you're in a war zone, but you're in a delivery room. And here comes this baby. And for the mom, the experience is like, she looks just like me. Or he looks just like me. And I'm thinking, that looks nothing like me. That looks like an alien, and I don't know where it came from. What in the world just happened to my wife and to my child? Oh, no. I'm having this moment. And you have entered the war zone of fatherhood. Now you are a dad. And this little thing is just so dependent upon you and is going to look up to you as the superhero of their life, that you've got to rear and raise and to father them to a whole other level. In the Bible, we see the first original man that God made, and he calls him Adam. The name Adam means the man. If there ever was a name that you would want, it's the man. You don't even need to call me Adam. Just call me the man, right? And so he shows up on the planet. I'm the man. A few years ago in 2017, Madison Grant won the sectional championship, and we're taking the bus ride home. And we come down Main Street and are blaring the horn, and we got music playing. People are coming out on the streets, and it was just a blast. And on the bus, the speakers are blaring. We're playing Aloe Black. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. And they're just going crazy. There's something about it. Like, man, I was made for this. I was built for this. Adam, he's of the dirt. He's of the dust. In Genesis chapter 2, it talks about how God created Adam, and he did not create Adam in the garden. It says that God formed Adam out in the wilderness with the dirt and the dust. And after he formed Adam, then he went and he created a garden. Then it says that he took Adam and he placed him in the garden. From the garden, He created Eve out of the side of Adam. Woman was created in the garden. She loves gardening and loves the beauty and the flowers and the smell goods and all that sort of stuff. Men, we love the dirt and the dust and the grease and the oil under our nails. There's just something different. We smell bad. We know it. We're reconnecting with how we were created in the wilderness and in the wild. And it didn't take too long down the road of God walking with man before he missed it and he blew it. Then we see that God has to create the second Adam, the final Adam. And not that he created Jesus, but he sent Jesus to the earth. And Jesus says, here's what it should have looked like. Let me show you what it should have looked like, the first man. Should have looked like this. Somebody who walks with the Father, hand in hand, stride in stride. Let me show you what it looks like to be the man who can resist temptation, who can lead, who can speak to governing authorities, and who can sit with the outcast at the well. Let me show you what it's like to take pity on those that have the issue of blood for over a decade and to hug and to hold and have children that can't wait to crawl up on your lap because you're full of joy and life and yet show up to the temple with a whip driving people out, flipping over tables. Let me show you what it's like to be the man. Let me show you what it's like to live with a standard of excellence. Let me show you how to leave a legacy of excellence. Let me show you what it's like to be tender. Hey, let me show you what it's like whenever you show up to your buddy's funeral and you just cry. And Jesus shows up at Lazarus' funeral and he just weeps. And let me show you what it's like to walk in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit and speak to that man and cause him to come alive again. Let me show you what it should have been like to have walked in the fullness of God, to be the man. Y'all want to know what it's like to be the man? We need to look at Adam and the second Adam and gain some insight. How can we be this kind of man? A leader, a father, a husband, the man in our home and in our community. And we see this scripture here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. It says, for just as through the disobedience of one man, and he's talking about the first Adam, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man that many will be made righteous. Because of Adam's mistake, we all have then been born into sin. And Jesus says, but if you're born in me, I can make you righteous all over again. I'm the second Adam. We're having a redo on this thing. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 29, it says this. It says that there are some that God has known and he's predestined to be conformed to the new image of the Son of God. Or could I say that God is knowing you and he's wanting to build this relationship with you and for you to go on a journey with him that you would become the second Adam all over again. That we would be not just the man, but we'd be the God-man here on the earth. As we spell out the word dad, D-A-D, I want to pull out a few words that I think help make up the word dad. One of the first realities that let me know that I was a dad was the first D, and it was diapers. I was in for a whole new world when I encountered this D word called diapers. I was like, oh my goodness, how can you go that much? Like, that's all you do all day is you just fill these things. And these things are expensive. Like, how many are we going to go through? I understand why, like, grandparents did the cloth deal. Like, these things are expensive, and we got to go through this. And here's the idea of diapers. It's taking care of someone that cannot take care of themselves. That's what a dad does. A dad provides for those that cannot provide for themselves. A dad takes care of the mess that we make as kids. A dad comes in and he cleans. He washes us with the word. He washes over us. Whenever we've done nothing to contribute to the benefit of the family, all we are is just a sucking leech on the family. Dad says, I'm here to provide. I'm here to wipe away your wounds. I'm here to make you shine. I'm here to make you good and to be awesome and to promote you, to be excellent. We were at men's group yesterday. We were talking about Don Wright, and Don, at his 80th birthday, his two sons stand up and speak over their father and say, "My dad was this, and my dad was this." And one of his sons says, "My dad set me up for success." That's what a dad does. He takes these children that can't do anything on their own, and he teaches and trains and guides and equips to where they can go out and get it. Jesus says, "I did not come to be served. I came to serve and to lay my life down as a ransom for many. I'm not looking for anybody else to take care of me." Let me tell you something. When you sign up to be a dad, you're not signing up for more me time. When you sign up to be a husband, you're not signing up for somebody just to serve you. "Man, I can't wait to have a wife so she can serve me." No. Ephesians 5 would say that the husband should lay their life down as Christ did for the church. We're called to be just like Jesus and to serve those, and I'll tell you, there's nothing quite like those diapers that will wake you up. Another D word that we can find is we go back to our original state as boys, is dirt. We just love being dirty. I remember sometimes whenever I play a baseball game, I didn't slide at second or something, and the game is over, and my uniform just looks crystal clean. I'm like, "Oh no. I'm grabbing dirt. I'm rubbing it all over myself. I'm going." When we take the four-wheelers out, especially Ronnie, this girl's wild. When we take the four-wheelers out and we don't hit enough mud or riverbanks or whatever, ripping through the woods, if we don't get dirty enough, she'll claw out the inside of those tires and just rub it all over her face. She's just from the dirt, that girl, man. She just is a gorgeous beauty that loves just the, she's dirty. She is. There's just something about that. And it's taking someone that, man, I think we can also do this as leaders, not just as fathers. Taking somebody that isn't awesome. Somebody that's not shining. Somebody that's got some history. It's got some baggage. They've been through it. And say, "I want to sit with you in the dirt." When Job goes through his big loss in life and the windstorm comes through and knocks out all of his barns and he loses all of his livestock and all of his kids are dead, it says that he sat on the dust heap of his life and he's scratching away the boils and the scars. With broken clay pots, he's digging away at the boils on his skin. It says he has three friends. It says when they heard this, they came from afar. And when they saw Job, they saw him from a distance. They wept. And then they sat with him. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just need somebody just to sit with me in the dirt. Don't need a ton of counsel right now. Don't need you to correct me. Can you just be with me? And that's part of it, right? That's part of it as dads. I know we want to teach. I know we want to correct. I know we've got all the wisdom in the world. Maybe they're not always interested in hearing it. But I know they probably just want you to be with them. In men's group yesterday, it was more of a teaching for me because I just kept asking, "Guys, how do you do this? How do you do this? I got a 10-year-old. How do you do this?" And Dennis Caudill said, he goes, "Whenever I was growing up, my dad didn't know anything, especially when I was a teenager. He was clueless. And then I became an adult, and I was amazed at how much my dad had learned." And dad got really smart. Whoa, dad, you're brilliant. And men, I don't know that we always need to prove our brilliance as much as we need to prove our presence and just be with them through it all. In Genesis 2:7, God formed man from the dirt, and he breathes breath into his nostrils. This A word, I believe, is the word adventure. A dad should be one that leads our families into an epic story, an adventure. I think that sometimes kids are looking just for the better story, not that they're looking for sin, not that they're looking to get into trouble. They're just looking for a story to live, an adventure to be had. And dads, I'll tell you, if we have checked out or we're just too tired or I just can't get off the couch, trust me, your kids will go find a better story. That story they are uninterested in. So dads, we got to lead the way, or even granddads. Maybe you're saying, "My kids are grown and gone." Then granddads, we need to have some get up and go and to take these kids on an epic story to where they're like, man, why would I ever be interested in anything that the world has to offer? Because my dad is so much more fun. This is so much more enjoyable. He is enticing me by the goodness of God and the fullness of a father. You provoke them to almost jealousy. I want it more. There's a bigger driver inside, if that makes sense, right? Perhaps you're sitting out there thinking, yeah, I wish I would have had that. Didn't get it. This morning is not a time to kind of paint this dream man and say, well, my husband's not that. My dad's not that. Whatever. I'm not being that. It's not a place to be in shame. It's just, let's look at some scriptures and see if we can go to a place. And if we need to get washed and forgiven, maybe some dads in there is like, man, I just need forgiven. I need to go to another place. Awesome. Maybe you're thinking, I need to forgive my dad because he did not pour into me. He just rolled out. Let's work through some forgiveness. Come on, we need to take strides toward health. This should not be such a message where you're like, well, that did nothing for me. No, we need to crescendo towards health on this thing. And maybe just working through a spot that you're at right now. Just want to put that out there. Adventure. So check out Jesus. Jesus has his disciples, and he says, hey, you guys get in the boat, and you guys go on out. Go. I'll catch up with you later. Jesus. That's Jesus. He's so silly. Yeah, you guys go out in the boat. I'll be out in a minute. Do you think Jesus was clueless on what he was doing? Then after they get a ways out there, he's like, hey, fellas. He's walking on the water. Set him up. Just totally set him up. Why? Because he loves adventure. Hey, guys, watch this. He's doing the running man. Who knows what he's doing out there? I mean, he's doing the electric slide. I don't know what he's doing. But he sends them out. I don't need a boat, but I'll show you what the second Adam is all about. It's supernatural, this thing. I'm going to show you another level of the second Adam. So much so that they're freaked out. We see a ghost. What in the world is this guy? He's like, oh, I'm cloaked in the ghost for sure. The Holy Ghost is on him, and he says, come. And he invites them in to the adventure. Come. Come out and be with me. Come out and dance on the water with me. Not too long ago, we had our kids up on the roof of the garage. And then we pulled the trampoline underneath it. And it's not a little trampoline, so okay, it's a bigger trampoline. And then we encouraged them. I might need corrected on my fathering here. But we encouraged them to jump off the roof onto the trampoline. And so, you know, they're you know, kind of getting into these, you know, times and moments. I got to hold their hand. Then we jump down. And they were like, okay, now you're ready. Now you're ready for life if you can do this. And so we're encouraging them and challenging them. I'm actually on a Zoom call, and I'm telling all of our marketers this. We do this Zoom call. Hey, I'm doing this thing with my kids. I'm trying to get them to jump off the roof. And some are like, ah, I don't like this guy. It's bad. And the other ones are like leaning in like, yeah, tell me more. It's unbelievable to watch everybody's faces. Kind of like what's happening right now in the room. And so I'm standing there in front of Judah, and I'm on the other side of the trampoline. I'm like, come on, Judah, you got this. And we're doing a countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And he's like, yeah, no. All right, let's do a countdown again, 5, 4, 3, 2, yeah, no. And so I'm like, hey, buddy, you got what it takes. You can do this thing. And he's just not coming. I mean, I'm just begging him, pleading with him, coaching his mindset. Hey, it's just, you're just going to come down, lay it on your butt. You're going to bounce right back up. It's going to be amazing. You're going to love it. And we're working through this. And Jesus saying, come on out here on the water. Your dad's out here. It'll be fine. Come on out here on the trampoline. It'll be fine. And he's not going. It's like, hey, buddy, I got some other stuff to do. I got to go. But I know that you can do this. As I leave, I'm kind of doing some other things. And he says, Dad, can you come back here? He said, when you were speaking to me, I had more courage. When you hear the Father's voice, courage hits your heart. Dad, can you be here? Because I had more courage when you were speaking life into me. I need to have my dad. Because when dad's around, I can do anything. Dad, can you come back and invite me out one more time? And invite him out one more time. People, can you get around your father? Maybe your father's long gone. If you've got your dad, pursue him. And more so, your heavenly Father. Get a hold of the Father God. He wants to fill his sons with courage to get after the adventure, to live the best life, to take care of those that cannot take care of themselves. right? He wants to be with us to get us to launch out into the great unknown. There's always more in store. The other thing about Jesus, and I mentioned this about Lazarus, it's the adventure. Jesus feels the pain of all of life. He hears word that Lazarus has died, and he waits. And he waits. And he waits. He waits for 4 days until Lazarus' body is decaying. The Bible says in the King James Version, it says, his body stinketh. That's the best if in all of Scripture. His body stinketh. He's decaying. He's falling apart. And Jesus is feeling all of the pain, and he shows up to his buddy's funeral, and the women are coming out. Jesus, where were you? Why weren't you here? We're dying because you're not around. And Jesus is broken, and he's weeping with them. He's engaging in life. And then he speaks to his friend, Lazarus, come forth. And he comes up out of the grave. There's this adventure thing inside of Jesus. Let's not just play the script as normal. Let's not just do this because we've always done it. Hey, well, we've always done it this way. Jesus says, hey, you've never seen it done this way before. Let me show you something. And he flips the script. Jesus is up for the better story. He's up for the adventure. He is passionate about adventure, this guy. I'll tell you, we don't have a whole lot of adventures just built into our everyday life. And I'm not saying that you need to go scale Everest every day in order to feel like a man. Sometimes it's the easiest things, like maybe just taking a new route home from work. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's, you know, getting into some other sort of a hobby, just learning something new. How about this? How about having your wife and your family, and all you want to do for your adventure that day is, can I find the parking spot by myself? Hey, I get it. There's no new land to conquer. We're not heading off to war today. You know, I don't need to like go save a bunch of orphans. The biggest adventure I'm gonna have all day is to like scout out the land and discover a parking spot. Can I just do that? And women, I wanna encourage you, let your husband find the parking spot, for crying out loud. He can do it. He's a big boy. He can do it. But you know what? You're right, women. He's probably gonna miss it, and you could have been 3 spots closer. Now you're gonna have to walk like an extra 15 feet. And I'm sorry about that. But can he have that adventure? I'm tempted when we go to Walmart, I'm tempted to park at Taco Bell, and the whole family, we're walking all the way across the parking lot. Or at Meijer, we're gonna park at Hardee's because I have to get my low-carb keto lettuce wrap burger. And then we got to walk across the parking lot, right? We're getting emasculated, and I'm not joking on this one. We get emasculated by being babysat on trying to find a parking spot. We get babysat on the little things in life. We can't even do it. We can't even get that right. The Bible would say it this way in Proverbs. It says, a nagging wife is like a leaking roof, and who can fix it? It also says a nagging wife is like trying to grab olive oil. Can't do it? I can't do this. And here we are in the wild manness, full expression of God. And we got to get babysat on the little things. Well, you didn't do this right. Didn't put the dish in the right spot. You didn't do it this. You didn't fold it the right. We got to fold the sleeve in first, then the bottom up. All right. I'm kind of joking on that one. But here's the deal, is there is some sort of adventure, guys, that we got to get back to. And women, can we just breathe a little bit and allow our men to be men and to be this wild thing that God has made them? Another A, I believe. And men, just a strong challenge. God has made us accountable. He's made us to be the accountable one. In Genesis chapter 3, whenever Eve is the one who initially sins, it says that God shows up in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, and he doesn't take Eve to task. He's coming after Adam. Adam, where are you, Adam? I set this thing up, and it's amazing. Adam, come here. Where are you at? Many times in life, we're kind of looking around like, man, I got ripped off in life. God, where are you? Where are you, God? Let me be the first. The first where are you was not man to God. It was God to man. Where are you, Adam? Come here. We need to have a talk. And what goes on in your family, whether it's your wife, whether it's your kids, whether it's whatever, it is under your reign and your rule. You are accountable to God. Well, I didn't do it. Well, I didn't say that. That's what little boys do. Little boys blame shift. Little boy says, it was my sister. Little boy said, I don't need to pick it up. It's not mine. Somebody else did it. And it's not about whose fault. It's about whose responsibility. It might not be my fault, but it's my responsibility. I might not have done it, but I'm responsible for it. That's a man. That's what God has designed for us as men. Fathers, don't blame shift to everybody else. Own it and lead. You're accountable. Here's Job sitting on the ash heap of his life, right? And he says, God, where are you? Why have you left me here? And it's Job, in Job chapter 38 and verse 3, God says this. He says, Job, brace yourself like a man. Gird yourself up and you will answer me like a man. Where were you whenever I created the foundations of the earth? Where were you whenever I painted the sky blue? Where were you whenever I did all this sort of stuff? Passion. Jesus is coming after the man. Men, we are accountable. And now to the last D. I'm going to roll off three of them here. Direction. Determination. To the destination where this family is heading. I got to have some vision. I got to have some direction. I need to know where I'm leading this thing. We need to paint the vision clear. Put it on the wall. Put it in limestone so that we can see the vision and run after it. We need a direction. Where are we going? Dad, what's the mission of the family? In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, women, you need to submit to your husbands as you would to the Lord. That word submission is sub, to come under the mission. And if there is no mission, she's got nothing to come under. Right? Come underneath the mission, submission. Well, what's the mission? Well, I'm going to like work and then come home and hang out in the garage and I'm going to, I don't know, stare at the wall and I don't know, drink a beer and call it a day. If that's the mission for the next 40 years, she ain't submitting to that. There's got to be a mission. Where are we going? What's the direction? And dads, to be determined, here's how we're leading our family. This is the destination that we're going to land upon, right? Some direction in our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, it says, whenever I was a child, I acted like a child. But whenever I became a man, I put away the childish things and I took responsibility. Whenever I was in elementary school, I acted like an elementary school kid. Whenever I was in junior high, I acted like a junior higher. Whenever I was in high school, I slept in late. Whenever I was in college, I slept in later. But when I became a man, all that stuff had to go. And I had to start getting determined on the direction I wanted to head. Men, have some direction, maybe even some discipline as another D. Just want to encourage our men. We don't need to apologize for how we were created. We don't need to. We need to apologize if we mishandle how we were created from time to time. Maybe we can get a little bit extreme in our wildness. We still, guys, we've got to be about the diapers and serve and lay our lives down. We've got to be about the adventure and about accountability and then having some direction for where this thing is going. And if you're going to go all in, you need to go all out for this thing. I want to encourage our men today. If you are I don't care if you're a father, you're wanting to be a father, you're a grandfather, any man in the house, if you would just stand with me, I want to pray over our men, I want to pray over our fathers today, just as a father blessing. If you're in junior high and you call yourself a man, if you're in high school, you call yourself a man, stand with me. We're going to pray for you. Oh, Jesus, we just lift up these men We pray, God, that they would lead with strength and with compassion. Lord, we pray that you would just put the second Adam upon them. I pray, God, that we would get reintroduced to this man that is fully and finally alive. Jesus, I pray that we would be serving those underneath us. Lord, I pray that we would live this story in an adventurous way. God, I pray that we as dads would be accountable. Lord, I pray that you would raise up some men, some leaders. Lord, we pray that we'd have direction and discipline and determination to lead toward this destiny. We just pray a blessing upon this group. And may the Father heart of God reign and rule in our homes. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.